Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
To We Dig Plants on Heritage Radio Network. We are Groundworks Inc. I'm Alice Marcus Krieg.
And I'm Carmen DeVito.
And we design, install, and maintain gardens in and around New York City. And We Dig Plants brings the culture to horticulture. And today we have a chef as our guest from an amazing garden center, Terrain, in Westport, Connecticut. They also have a store outside of Philly, right, Carmen?
Yes. Yeah. In the main line.
Not too far from where I grew up, though. I grew up in Fairfield, Connecticut, so right up the road from Westport. And now, full disclosure, we need to say that Terrain carries our soil, Brooklyn Blend. So this is a real, like, 360 for us.
Yeah.
Considering that I grew up right down the street.
And this is the first time we're having a chef.
Exactly. Exactly.
On the show. And this is a very foodie network.
So. Absolutely. Heritage Radio. So, and the other weird thing is, and I'll get to that more when we talk about the chef that's our guest, Joe Wolfson. Welcome, Joe. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, good. So you can hear that southern accent. This is the other 360 part. Joe, you're from South Carolina, and that's actually where my family is from. Pre-Revolutionary War in the 1700s,
right.
They came into South Carolina, and they were farmers. So this is a real strange circle.
That's
for,
pretty cool.
For me.
You said they came in probably through Charleston?
Charleston, yep. And
nice.
There was a doctor in the family, and he was on the battery. That's all I know.
Yep.
And then they moved west into Tennessee. But pretty interesting that then you ended up in Westport, Connecticut.
Yeah, it's definitely really different up here from South Carolina.
Yeah.
But in a good way. I mean, it's a lot faster up here, I'd say. Down south, I guess we're more relaxed. It's like people drive a lot faster. People want to go, which is cool. But I mean, it's the same everywhere when you really break it down.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean though. I actually went to school in the south, and a friend of mine said it's more efficient in the north.
That's a nice way of putting it.
A good way to put it. That's a very good way to put it.
So let's tell folks a little bit about more in detail about your background. You're from South Carolina, you were influenced by your Southern Low Country upbringing and a strong loyalty to the local farmers and purveyors who shepherd your ingredients from seed. Wolfson has been recognized as one of the top up-and-coming chefs in America by Southern Living and Food and Wine magazines, as well as being nominated for the 2011 People's Best New Chef in America by Food and Wine magazine in partnership with CNN.com. He was also invited to be a guest chef on the 2011 Outstanding in the Field Farm Dinner Tour. I want to go on one of those.
Outstanding in the Field.
It's so much fun. Like, there was, like, I was so crazy nervous walking up to it, just building, like, the month going up to it. And then, like, once that day hits, it's just pure adrenaline, and it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Yeah.
Because that group, they're sick. I mean, they come in, like, we did it at the last restaurant I was at. We owned a farm. We did it at our farm. I was cooking inside of the barn.
Yeah.
For 100-something people, and they came with a bus. They set up long table. I mean, they set everything up in, like, 3 hours, and then we just pumped the food out, and it was just such a fun night.
It's magic. It's a magic event. Yeah. They actually did a project here at the Grange, which is this rooftop farm here in New York.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, they did a fundraiser for them. Anyway, go on.
And a decade ago, you were doing a stint on the line at Columbia, South Carolina's Hampton Street Vineyard. That sort of solidified your enthusiasm for the kitchen. Is that right?
Yeah, that or just my mom and my grandmother are incredible cooks. And I pestered them, like asking them question after question about how they did this, why they did this.
That's amazing.
Why they, and then, and now the two of them will call me up and they're ask me, like, what should I do here?
Yeah.
And it's like the ultimate turnaround. I mean, it's just, it's so fun.
So, but then you also had formal training, right, at the Johnson & Wales. You were, you studied there at their Charleston campus. And that's, so you have the sort of home cook training, and then you have the formal culinary training, which is really great, a great combination, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, like, to me, like, cooking, like, you're cooking from the soul, you're cooking from the heart, but, like, you need to know why if you put a fish into hot oil that it reacts this way, too. I mean, you just have to, you need to be well-rounded with everything.
Right, right. So, so after Charleston, where you were a chef, right? Then you came to, how did you get to Terrain?
Tell us a little bit about that.
I took a restaurant, I took a job at a restaurant in Alabama called Ham and High, which was the restaurant that I was a chef at before I moved to Terrain. That's where I got all the notoriety, where I was nominated for the People's Best New Chef, and I was in Southern Living and Food and Wine. And that's kind of where I mean, I had always worked with restaurants to try to get, do everything as local as possible, but never to the degree that we did at Ham and High, where we owned two different farms. One of the farms was, it was three blocks away from the restaurant. So I would, like, I'd have, like, a four-wheeler that I would ride to the farm and pick up produce, or I would make my own charcuterie, and I would hide it, basically, at the farm inside of the barn. Because the health department didn't really enjoy the way I guess I would have done it.
Right, right.
And then I'd spent my entire life in the South, and I wanted to see something else. And this area really, I thought, I mean, really was something I wanted to get into because it's this close to New York City, and I just wanted to see somewhere else. I mean, I was 27 years old. I just wanted to see a different part of the country, you know?
Right, right, right. So how do you think the North has influenced your cooking style?
Like honestly, not really. No, I cook the way I have cooked. I mean, it's influenced me that I maybe there's some ingredients that I couldn't get the same time down south. But it's for the most part, it's no. I mean, I my food I consider it Southern French. With like utilizing New England ingredients right now, or I'm trying to use like the local scallops, or I'm using local fish that are coming out of the waters near here.
So let me just tell our listeners a little bit about Terrain. They are a garden center and a really gorgeous kind of lifestyle shop.
Yeah, they're owned by shop. Anthropology.
Owned by
right? They're part of the Anthropology
group. Urban Outfitters.
Yeah. Of which Anthropology is a part.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So so, and that's why they carry our Brooklyn Blend soil. So, and I've been to your Westport location, and you have a gorgeous garden center with beautiful plants and trees and shrubs and perennials and soil.
No, absolutely.
You know? And then they have this beautiful cafe, which is what you're heading up. So you're making things like lobster and grits, is that right? New England lobster and grits?
I haven't really gotten so much lobster in, but I'm doing, like, pork belly and grits or with, like, a local farm egg or something like that. No, I haven't really gotten any lobster in. I honestly don't have a reason as to why I haven't. I just haven't utilized it yet.
Yeah. Well, my brother was a lobsterman on Long Island Sound, if you need a contact.
That'd be awesome, yeah. I'll have my contact information. I would love that.
Okay. Well, that was many years ago, so I'll just connect you later with the lobsterman. So we have a sample menu here that was faxed over. just to give our listeners kind of a feeling for what your palate is, Stonington scallops with house-made bacon, cauliflower, golden raisins, honey, and shallot. That's a small plate. Roasted beets with tomato soup with horseradish creme fraiche, pickled beet salad with young lettuce, toasted pumpkin seeds, orange vinaigrette, smoked squab breast, sunny side up farm egg, rye toast.
I think
toast.
I want to lick that paper.
Thank you.
No, it's all drooled on already. You don't want
to. Oh, my
to.
God.
I'm unfortunately.
So for,
oh
for Maine.
Oh, God, Joe. You're killing me.
We're coming up. We're coming up.
Well, come and see me. Well, I will take very good care of you.
Well, that's great. We're there. So for Maine dishes, you have pork osso buco, which with baby carrots, pearl onions, roasted garlic, Swiss chard, cheddar grits, Berkshire pork chop. So where are you getting your ingredients from then? Are you working with local farmers in the Connecticut area?
Absolutely. I'm working with a lot of local farms in the Connecticut area,
mm-hmm.
Like Fort Hill, that's two different farms, Millstone, the Hickories.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just a lot of local farms, Beltane, just whoever has the best stuff when I can get it, Chaplin Farms.
How are you sourcing these? Are you making the contacts, or is Terrain making the contacts for you? Like, how's that relationship?
It's been me. I've had there's a great lady, Lori, who works with the, she's the chairman of the local farmers market, and she came to Terrain, like, I moved to Connecticut 11 days before the restaurant opened. So I knew nobody here, knew nothing here, had no connections to the local farms. But she came and ate like the first week we were open. And she was like, I'm going to take you and I'm going to introduce you to all these people.
That's great.
She brought me to the Westport Farmers Market and I met a lot of the local farmers and just kind of built relationships that way that I just started using them, you know?
Yeah. Now, are they able to sell some of these herbs and vegetables and stuff in the store? Like, from what they're growing, or how does that work?
I mean, that's not necessarily what they do. We sell, like, we'll sell, like, tomato plants or pepper plants or, like, basil plants. But we're not necessarily buying the tomatoes to sell.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm buying the tomatoes for me to use. Or we've had, like, farmers markets inside of Terrain, we've invited local farmers, and they've kind of had a booth, and they've sold tomatoes, and stuff like that.
And do you get some of your meats from Heritage Foods?
Yeah, do you know about Heritage Foods, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's who owns the station.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That's who owns the station, yeah.
Yeah, I'm using, like, Berkshire pork. I'm using, like, Amish-raised chickens from Pennsylvania, local Connecticut scallops and fish, and like heritage breeds like Millard ducks, and then like Painted Hills beef, which they're based in Oregon, which is a little far away from me, but I think it's the best American beef out there.
Really?
Why is that?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just because instead of like having like 400 ranchers, they only have 40, and they don't try and force the calves to grow way before they're ready. Like, I met the lady who, her and her husband own it, and she told me that, like, if the cow has, like, a white nose and white feet, they won't use it because it has too much of the wrong breed in it. Like, they're just sticklers to the umpteenth degree to make sure that every single whatever, like, every single strip or ribeye that they, or every single cow they raise is just incredible quality.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you a funny thing about animal color pads. I'm a big fan of coonhounds, right? I have some coonhounds. You're a southern boy, so you know all about coonhounds. And apparently coonhounds, if they have pink pads, are not good hunting dogs because it means they're too tender, so they're not going to be good on the hunt.
Yeah, because when they're running in the forest.
Yeah, they need the black pads.
Well, you know, I recently drove from New York to... I did a reverse of what you did, Joe. I went from New York to Florida to spend a little time in the sun last week.
Nice.
And I stopped in Savannah, you know? And
Savannah's a great city.
That's a great town to eat. But, of course, I got in very, very late, and I chose a restaurant that had historically costumed characters, which is not a good sign. I just won't learn my lesson. But anyway, the food.
And what kind of flag was hanging on
that? Can I just say, Joe, that my parents are the, I always say to Alice, my parents are the original locavores. They're old school Italian like farmers, and they eat. They've taught me to garden and to eat very, very well.
They've been butchering their own.
Yeah, they grew up butchering animals and growing every bit of their own produce and canning and pickling everything. So they're very snobbish about their food. But I said, look, it's 10 o'clock at night and we're hungry, and you know, this is not New York. There's not places open till midnight. So we're going to go to the closest possible place that's going to serve dinner. So we went to this place, and we ate some food. It was grits and shrimp and stuff, and it was probably not the best Southern meal I'll ever have, but, you know, when you're hungry, you know.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get a Southern Italian to get on board with Southern food, you know. The Italians are so snobby, you know, and I'm wondering.
You gotta have it done right.
Exactly, yeah. And I've had some good meals in Charleston. Uh-huh. You know, I've had some really good meals.
Charleston's one of the best.
Yeah, food town.
I lived about 8 years. I mean, it's just a sick place.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place.
It's got so much going for it, where it's got, like, beaches and incredible restaurants, great art scene, like a really cool, eclectic college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, Charleston's it's a port city. Sick. It's a port city, and
yeah.
It's always had.
I mean, Savannah was beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it. I'm sure there's a lot of really good restaurants there, too. But I'm wondering how, you know, you're... Westport, Connecticut is a well-heeled town, you know, and people have high expectations, right? You know, they've
But the
eaten.
South is so hot now.
So, right. So how are you?
No, it is a big food trend right now.
Yeah.
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 So how are people, you know, I mean, are you finding it challenging to deal with their expectations? Or are you finding that they're, you know, open to trying new flavors and things, Joe? How has that been for you?
I'd say it's a bit mixed. I mean, you have certain people, and this, I mean, it's the same anywhere, that they want what they want, and they want how they want it. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people that have come in, and they've just let us do whatever we wanted to, and just loved what we were doing. I wouldn't say it's been difficult, though. Like, I'm fairly stubborn. I'm going to cook food the way I want to cook it and hope that they enjoy it. And I so far, the feedback's been really good, I think.
Yeah, I can imagine so. I mean, and I think it's what Westport needed. They needed a good dose of Southern food, you know?
Someone to cook good grits and cook
exactly.
Duke Pimento cheese the way it's supposed to be done, or
exactly.
Duke cornbread the way it's supposed to be done.
Exactly. We have to take a break. Hang on to the line, Joe. We'll be back after a
Very
break.
Cool.
And you're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to Boy Crazy by Cookies on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
She doesn't need your help. She studied art in Spain. Tall boys across her brain. Yeah, tall boys, men, they'll do anything. They sat her in the shade, threw her a parade. All lined up, marching back and forth all day. She's bored.
The following program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate. An incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com. Every Wednesday at noon, Dorothy Cann Hamilton, founder and CEO of the International Culinary Center, interviews the top chefs in the world on Chef Story. Hear from chefs like Christina Tosi.
I'm going to be the best pastry cook this restaurant's ever seen.
Francis Malman.
Cooking with fire, it's very feminine, it's very fragile.
And Jacques Pepin.
I was invited to work at the White House for John Kennedy.
Learn how the greats become great every Wednesday at 12 p.m. on Chef Story at HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We have Joe Wolfson with us today, chef at the Cafe at Terrain in Westport, Connecticut. Welcome back, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're going to ask you some more questions now, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
All right.
Or I could just talk about some other esoteric.
Yeah, let's, we can just talk. You know, it's a very loose show. We're eating some. Actually, we're eating some cookies that my friend Rosa made today in Abidjan. All right. So, what is your favorite thing to cook and why? This sounds a little bit like the dating game, but go on.
No, of course. Probably something braised, like either like short ribs or like pork cheeks or ossobuco, just something that you cook low and slow where it takes time. Like, to me, that shows whether or not you can actually cook, if you can do a braise right, where you take an ingredient that's otherwise tough and something that people wouldn't want, that's somewhat off-putting or unappealing, and you turn it into something that's just fall apart, tender, and delicious.
Yeah, I find that some of those, you know, like what was sort of like cheaper cuts of meat, if you can make them, you know, and it seems like every cuisine has that, you know, there's like the pernil, right? I love to make
like
pernil.
The poorer areas,
right?
Every cuisine, because it's like all they could get was the feet or the cheeks or like the pieces that no one really wanted.
And that's really the basis,
like that,
and make it amazing.
Make it,
I mean, I grew up eating, Alice knows the story, I mean, I grew up eating all kinds of offal and animal parts that nobody else wanted, you know, because my parents grew up eating that because they were pretty poor, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I can...
Brains.
My mother used to convince me that pig brain was chicken, you know, she'd make cutlets out of them. She once put a boiled pig ear on my plate, you know?
Nice. Like, we opened up, I was doing... And I'll probably go back to it at some point, but I was doing pork cheeks with crispy pig ears as a dish when we first opened.
Really? And how did people respond to that?
I was calling the pig ears Oreo de cochon.
Okay.
So that people wouldn't be like, pig ears, I'm not eating that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let them try it and then be like, it's a pig ear.
It sounds so much better in French.
It does sound better in French. My friends never wanted to come to my house to eat you.
No.
They were like, what kind of bizarre animal part?
And nobody traded lunch with you.
Oh, please. My parents pickled everything. So that sounds cool. So let's talk about celebrities. Everybody's obsessed with celebrities. Who would you most want to cook for if you had an opportunity to make a dinner for somebody?
Like, if you could do a round table dinner,
yeah,
what would the menu be? And if you could have like an actor, an athlete... and like,
a head of state,
yeah,
you know,
like who would your table,
a writer,
what would your table consist of and what would it be?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I'm a huge Oklahoma Sooner fan. So I'd maybe have someone like a sports athlete, like Adrian Peterson, who's a running back who played at Oklahoma, or, as far as like, I don't know. Like
what would you cook for him?
What would I cook for him? Something simple. I mean, fried chicken, collard greens.
Yeah.
Maybe some cornbread or something like that.
Okay. Let me throw out another celebrity. George Clooney. What would you make for him?
I don't know. Maybe like a simple fish dish with just like a really well-cooked piece of fish with a nice puree or some couscous or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to... I really don't know.
I remember reading once, I forget where I read it, but apparently in France, there's this big thing, you know, the president of France gets to pick his last meal, right? And he can have whatever he wants, right? And I don't remember exactly the details. It's a little fuzzy. But I think it was Mitterrand, and he wanted, there's this bird, I think they're swallows or something, and it's a very classically French dish.
Mm-hmm.
With these tiny birds kind of pounded, and you know, and I was like, oh my, I know. Like, that would not be my last meal, but that's like quintessentially French, you know?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. There are chefs that you admire. Who would you like to cook for? What chef would you like to cook for, and what would you like to make for them to impress your skills upon them?
I would like to cook for, or I mean, like, people that I look up to, like, obviously Thomas Keller or Daniel Ballou or David Millet or someone like that, or, like, Scott Crawford, who's an amazing chef. I don't know, like, I'd maybe, I don't know. It would be hard for me to tell, to think about what I'd want to do something really perfect. You're cooking for someone of that magnitude. You're just, it's a little, there's an intimidation factor that goes into it, that you want it to be perfect because,
yeah,
you know that everything that they do is just immaculate.
Right.
You know?
Do some of the farmers that you get the produce from and the meat from, do they come to Terrain and eat your food?
Yeah.
That must feel great for them.
A good few of them, actually.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So do you, have you been, or, all right, what kind of like herbs are you use? I mean, you're probably cooking seasonally. So what, do you have a favorite herb that you like to cook with?
I love basil.
Uh-huh.
Basil is one of my favorites, or cilantro is another one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, they're strong. They're strong, but sweet. You know, those are strong flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like sage is another herb that I love.
Right.
It's kind of more this time of year, you know.
Well, you, since you're right up there in Westport, you should really check out Gilberti's Herbs.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Do you know about them?
I do know about them. I have not been to check them out, though. I need to.
They're a great, great, great company, and they're very open to tours of their greenhouses. And
they grow the hugest variety of, like, let's say mint. There's like 50 kinds of mint.
Yeah, they're wonderful to work with. So you might want to make that connection.
Okay.
Gilberti's.
And it's good to support the local growers too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's another place in, I think it's not too Coventry. It's not too far from Hartford, called Caprylands, yeah, which was Adele Simmons, and she's like the mother of herb cooking.
Yes, that's right.
She's passed away, but her cookbooks are amazing, and her herb farm is amazing too. So you might want to go check that out.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy that.
Nice.
Have you had a chance to come down to New York and sample some local New York fare and New York restaurants? What have you found that's been interesting to you here?
I haven't had that much of a chance to get to New York. I mean, I've been a couple of times. Like, I went to, like, Spotted Pig, and that was really good. Or Red Farm was a really cool restaurant that I went to in the city.
Uh-huh.
But, no, I mean, I haven't really, I haven't taken as much advantage as I should have being this close to the city.
Yeah.
I'm here so much.
Right.
Yeah.
That it's on my days off, I literally want to hang out with my girlfriend and the dogs and sleep.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
I hear you.
That's the sad reality of my life.
Are you living in Westport? Where are you living?
Stratford.
In Stratford. Oh, on the beach. Nice.
Yeah.
Near the beach. Good, good.
Near the beach.
Well, it's not the Outer Banks, right? But it's not the Outer Banks, but it'll have to do, right, Joe?
It's fine. I can make do. I'm easygoing. I can make do wherever I am.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, we would, you know, when you guys do come down to Connecticut, please let us know. We can connect you with a lot of food and farmers. That's what we do here on the Heritage Radio Network.
In fact, we are sitting in a kind of in a restaurant right now. The Heritage Radio Network is right outside Roberta's Restaurant, which is also a very well-known and well-respected restaurant here in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And on top of the container that is the studio is a garden with plants.
And everything that is grown here is used in the restaurant. Joe?
Have we lost
him? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, that's awesome. I didn't realize that was a question for me.
Yeah, yeah. So you should let us know, and we could have a great pizza with you down here.
Yeah, if you decide to come to
that.
Brooklyn.
That would be awesome.
Brooklyn is the new culinary capital of New York, just so you know that.
It really is.
It is.
There's a couple restaurants that I really, really want to go to in Brooklyn, like Chef's Table or Blanco.
Well, Blanco's right here.
What's the Thai restaurant with the where they... They're famous for the wings, which is a guy from Seattle that's doing it.
Oh, is that in Williamsburg that he has the hottest wings, I think?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, Blanco is part of Roberta's...
Blanco's right here.
Yeah, it's burgeoning restaurant empire.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so you're...
Okay, so then I do... I am familiar... I haven't been there, but I am familiar
with
kind of the area that you are then.
Yeah, yeah. So we're in Bushwick, which is the hipster capital of the world.
Yes. Okay.
Well, anyway.
There's one thing that Brooklyn is not short on, and that's hipster.
Exactly. Beards, flannel shirts,
rings. You know what was nice about going to the South and seeing people wearing beards non-ironically and trucker hats not ironically? Just wearing them. And I'm not ashamed to say that I ate some grits at a truck stop, and they were really good.
They're damn good.
Grits, yes. If grits are done right, they're incredible. It's just most people don't know how to cook them.
Exactly.
Or they're getting like the instant grits, which is just...
No.
Well, what's the secret then, Joe? What's the secret to the grit?
I cook my grits. I get my grits from a friend of mine in Alabama. It's Oakview Farms. They're in Wetumpka, Alabama. He stone grinds them himself, really fresh. But I just cook them 4-to-1 ratio in chicken stock and heavy cream.
4-to-1 ratio, chicken stock and heavy cream.
Well, how could you go wrong with that? Yeah. I mean, that's
exactly.
Like...
Exactly. And then just low and slow and season with salt and pepper and a little sharp white cheddar right at the end.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's just...
Wow, that makes you want to give up polenta.
There's nothing wrong with polenta either. I mean, polenta is extra fine grits, really.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you a funny little story about... I'll tell you a funny little confession. At Heritage Radio, a couple of years ago, we had a big fundraiser dinner party. And they had a country ham purveyor up here.
Yeah.
A real country ham, salted, cured... country ham purveyor, and he sliced that ham super, super, super thin. So he was passing it around, and of course all New Yorkers think, oh, it's prosciutto. So Carmen's eating this, and she said, oh my God, this is better than prosciutto.
So all my ancestors rolled over in their graves, because we love our pork, we love our smoked, salted goodness.
Yeah. Well, every good culture does,
Yeah. And
you're like, there's so many parallels between the South and Italy when you really look at it.
Yeah.
And there is this parallel of the North and the South in Italy too. There's the Northern cuisine, which is a very specific and fine cuisine. And then there's the Southern cuisine, which, some people in Italy think of as like the bastard child, of Italian cuisine, but it's probably what most North Americans are familiar with, is the Southern peasant kind of cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is best. leave it at that.
I'm going to send you, Joe, I wanted to read it, but I it's a long, long passage. There's a great piece of writing from Mark Twain that actually my brother read to me. I got married in the South, and my brother read this at our wedding, because my husband is from the South, but his family is from the North. I'm from the South, but my family is from the North. So, it was just this weird North-South thing. So, it's this beautiful piece that Mark Twain wrote about being a Southerner and trying to find good food in the North. And it's an amazing essay. And actually, I will bring it to you. Carmen and I are going up to Boston, and we're going to be right on I-95. So, I was just saying maybe we should jump off the highway and come say hello to you and have a little snack.
Come on in. That'd
Terrain.
Be awesome. I would love that.
And it sounds like Terrain and you are a really good fit. They're doing such amazing things, and it sounds like you're really given an opportunity to showcase what you can do. And I think it's a great addition to Westport.
And thank you. Thank you for being on the show. We look forward to tasting everything.
Yes, thanks for having me. I mean, this was a blast.
Yeah. Okay. And let us know when you come down to New York.
Okay.
And thanks again for being on our show. You've been listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. We were just speaking with Joe Wolfson from Terrain in Westport. He's the executive chef. Thanks to Joe for engineering. Thanks to Jack for producing. And happy gardening.
See you in the garden or on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.